Now, the Secretary of State, Owen Paterson, he's wanting your views on whether there should be an official opposition at Stormont and whether we need fewer MLAs. At present, the main assembly parties are all in government together, up there in the hill. Do you think they're doing a wonderful job? Do you think there should be an official opposition like there is across the water? You've got Labour getting stuck in as the opposition to the coalition government. Well, it's going to be interesting, this. Critics say politics here would be better if some of the parties formed an opposition, offering an alternative government, alternative policies. Take big, big reform for this to happen. Would some of the big parties actually want it to happen? More to the point, do you want it to happen? Do you think it's too cozy up there, or do you think it's too right? It's just right. 08459 555 678. We'll speak to some of the politicians in just a second or two. Jude Collins is with us this morning, as is Dawn Purvis, former MLA. Morning to you, Jude.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning. Morning, Dawn.
Morning, Stephen.
It's
always good
to talk to you, Dawn. Jude, what do you think?
Well, I think it's an example of the British Secretary of State doing what he does best, pretending to be an enlightening influence for the two benighted tribes in the north of Ireland and nudge them towards being as normal as Finchley. We all know that it would be better if we had a situation where you had a government and an opposition, and that would be nearer to the usual shape that parliaments or assemblies take. But the problem is that this present state of affairs exists because the state itself was constructed to have a permanent unionist government. And the present organisation up at Stormont is the only way that unionists could be persuaded into power sharing. Now, if you're going to start changing that, you're going to be making radical changes to the Good Friday Agreement itself. And that seems to me a dangerous thing. Not that it isn't a desirable thing, but it is a very dangerous thing because it could, for example, trigger reinstatement of Articles 2 and 3 in the South. Why not? That's part of the agreement as well.
Dawn Purvis, thank you, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Dawn Purvis.
Well, I think Jude is quite right that the Good Friday Agreement was constructed in a way that no party would dominate over the other, so there was effectively a double veto in place. But, of course, what was always written into the Good Friday Agreement was the need to change and the need to evolve from those institutions, because what was recognised at the time was that the safeguards or the ugly scaffolding, as Mark Durkin put it, would need to eventually be deconstructed. Now, that can't happen without the agreement of the parties, and we've seen that the parties have had discussions through the Assembly and Executive Review Committee. Of course, they've come up with no agreement. But I think, quite rightly, the Secretary of State is offering this out to the public, for the public to have their say. I think he has a right to do that. He is the Secretary of State. Westminster retains sovereignty in terms of
But do you think what exists at the minute, Dawn Purvis, is truly democratic?
No, it's not truly democratic. And you have to remember, Stephen, that our democracy came about as a result of a political agreement to end conflict. It didn't come about organically, as in the Scottish Parliament or the Welsh Assembly. So ours is a construct, if you like, that was to end years of violent conflict here. So it's not a perfect democracy, but it is what it is, and we had to work with it as
okay.
It was.
Let's talk to Sinn Féin and the guys of Raymond McCartney. Morning to you, Raymond.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning to you. Basil McRae, Ulster Unionist Party. Morning to you, Basil. Morning, Basil. Basil isn't there.
No, Basil is here.
Ah, there you are, Basil. I can hear you now. Okay. Raymond McCartney, why not? Why not have an opposition putting more pressure on you lot? Take the cosiness out of Stormont.
Well, I think, first of all, Stephen, we have to ensure that we see this in its proper context. This, in my opinion, is a clumsy attempt by Owen Paterson to interfere in the run of the Assembly. And whatever we do, and whatever Sinn Féin will do in the future, we will be guided by the principles of the Good Friday Agreement. And at its core, the Good Friday Agreement was about fairness, equality, and representativeness. And
but not about cosiness, not about Sinn Féin and the DUP cozying up to each other when it suits you, and there not being enough might to really take you on so that you're constantly under pressure, your critics would say.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I mean, when the Good Friday Agreement was signed and the people voted for it, I mean, I think it would be wrong to say or suggest that Sinn Féin or any group of parties cozied up to anything. But the Good Friday Agreement was designed to ensure that there was proper representation and that the core would be fairness and equality. And anything, in our opinion, which undermines that or tries to circumvent it is something which we will strenuously oppose.
You're going back 14 years. You're going back to 1998. Things are supposed to evolve.
But we have to ensure, Stephen, that whatever we do in the future doesn't undermine the progress which we have made to date. And anyone who's suggesting that there's a return to majority rule, or anyone who's saying that the principles of fairness and equality should be circumvented or undermined, we will oppose that, because what will happen, and Jude's already pointed this out, you will have the hankering back to the past where people felt that majority rule was good because it suited the particular interests of one particular party.
Basil McRae?
Well, I don't think Raymond's party actually signed the Good Friday Agreement. Maybe he can confirm whether they did or not. But I will tell you this. Politics is dying up in Stormont because there is no opposition. The people actually do want to see people held to account, and it's very difficult to do that if everybody's in the government. And I will agree with Dawn Purvis, absolutely, that what was necessary at the time in 1998 may not be what's in the best interest now. Democracy is an evolving issue. We are facing many, many challenges for the people of Northern Ireland, and we need to get politics that actually truly represents what the people think.
Politics is dying in Stormont?
It is.
What you said?
Absolutely. If you look at the voter participation that we had in the last Assembly elections, we're down 10 percentage points. People are saying to us, you get it all the time on the things about what are the politicians doing to really address the issues that face the people of Northern Ireland, things like jobs, things like getting out housing.
But you're all elected MLAs. You don't need an opposition or to be in an opposition to be able to deliver for people, do you? You've got the power of being an MLA. Deliver.
No, the only sanction that the people have in any democracy is that every 4 or 5 years they get, if they so choose, they get to vote one lot out and vote another lot in. Now, at the moment, we don't have that in Northern Ireland. We get the situation where no matter who you vote for, you end up with the same people in because everybody's in. That's not healthy in the longer term. That's not the way that people really want or expect a democracy to work. And if the people, including Raymond McCartney and his party, are really confident in their position, they should be able to take criticism, they should be able to take constructive opposition from other people, argue their case and win their case with a mandate from the people. This situation where we don't have the confidence to actually brook any form of discussion, it just seems to me to be sending out all the wrong messages.
So you would cooperate in a Northern Ireland setup in which Sinn Féin were the ruling party?
I recognise the democratic mandate of all of the people that take their seats in the Northern Ireland Assembly. What I do not think is a good idea is where you have cosy carve-ups going on between the DUP and Sinn Féin behind closed doors, and that any time you try to oppose it, you're told, but you're in the executive, you can't disagree.
Raymond McCartney?
There are things that I disagree with, and there are arguments that I wish to put to the people of Northern Ireland, and it's for them to decide what is the right way forward.
Raymond McCartney?
Well, actually, I think the first point, I mean, Basil sort of says that, you know, politics is down, and it points to a percentage drop in the Assembly. If you look across, I mean, all, you know, European countries, we see a lowering of the participation of people in elections. Does that mean that politics is down in all those states? We have an opposition. See, I think what we have to have here is an open and honest debate. When the Ulster Unionists were the lead party in the executive, there was constructive opposition, and Sinn Féin provided that constructive opposition within the executive. We were able to represent our people in a constructive way. If there are decisions we didn't agree with, we constructively opposed it. I think what you're seeing from Basil and from Basil's party in particular is that they can no longer have this sort of situation where they're no longer the lead party, and now they're putting up this false argument that we need opposition to have proper government. The system of government exists in the north for particular reasons. Those reasons haven't been removed. Therefore, Sinn Féin said very, very, very clearly, we will not allow anyone to undermine the principles at the core.
So, Raymond, let me take an example. Given the fact that CSI, you know, a shared future, something as fundamentally important as that, has not been delivered in Northern Ireland. What's the punishment for your party or the DUP or any party in that executive? They haven't delivered. Failure to deliver. What's the punishment?
Yeah. Two observations. First of all, are you suggesting if there was an opposition that the CSA programme would have been any further advanced? I don't think it would be. Whatever the difficulties around that, they will be teased out in the future.
What's the punishment? What's the threat to your party?
If people aren't satisfied with the performance of Sinn Féin in the next election, then they can vote for another party. But increasingly, and we have found this because the people whom I represent are confident in the representation which Sinn Féin give them. I know that in each election our vote increases.
Let me take another example. Post-primary education. What's the punishment to both the DUP, Sinn Féin, to that executive? The fact that you haven't delivered?
Well, I mean, again, I mean, you have to say that observation, we haven't delivered. Sinn Féin has delivered. And why am I confident about that? Then I go back to it.
There's no agreement. There's no agreement.
The people support him and what he's doing. Then look at the polls. Let the polls decide, because when people
11
talk
plus
about
is gone, but selection remains.
There can be many, many definitions of democracy, but at its core, the people decide. Have the people decided that Sinn Féin should be in the position it's in? And the answer is yes.
Basil McRae, is it not true that both you and John McAllister did you not want the UUP to form an opposition by itself?
Yes, that would be correct.
Pull out of the executive?
Yes, I believe in the fundamental tenets of a stable government on an ongoing basis, a constructive government, and I think that tried and tested in many countries over many years, the way that you do that is that you have a genuine and constructive opposition.
So was Mike Nesbitt wrong to rule that out?
What Mike Nesbitt said is, and this is what the Secretary of State, I think, is coming forward with, is that it would be better if it was done after due consideration, that you thought about how it might work to the betterment of everybody, that perhaps that it does require a different stance to that that was required in 1998. So let's have a look at it. And all that I understand that the Secretary of State has done, and I think it's...
You know, you're under the Secretary of State now, but your leader, Mike Nesbitt, he ruled out the Ulster Unionist Party unilaterally pulling out immediately like you wanted to.
He ruled out, as I understand it, that we would do it immediately.
Is he right or wrong in doing that?
As far as I'm concerned, the issue is that it should be done. My personal preference would be to do it sooner rather than later. But as I said at the start of this, fundamentally, I'm a Democrat. There was a vote within the party. The party took a position that said, we would like to try and think about this a little bit longer. But I can tell you, it is not sustainable in the longer term to have a government instalment that does not have some form of constructive opposition. This idea that we're always right, that we're always that there's no looking of difference of opinion, is just not sustainable. There are fundamental things that I disagree with. I do not agree with Sinn Féin's stance on the education policy. I do not agree with the DUP in a number of things, and therefore it is not right for me to be sat in a government where you're saying, yeah, but keep quiet because you're all member of the executive. What we needed at the time in 1998 was to get stability and some way of moving forward. We've done that. We now need to move further forward again. We need to engage the people in the democratic process, and we need to say to them, your vote really counts. It will make a difference.
Daniel Zanuri. Morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Daniel speaking here.
Yes,
can you
Daniel.
Hear me?
Yes, I can.
Stephen, would you ask what he called the both members of Parliament there that you have?
You ask them.
Yes, please. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Gentlemen, would you tell me one thing that the MLAs in Stormont have done that will help the average working man or woman who goes to work every day to try and ease their problems? Because as I see it, there's not one thing has been done in Stormont for to help the average working man or woman who has to travel to work sometimes 20, 30, 40 miles per day. And what is being done for to help them?
Daniel, let me hold that. Let me hold that for one second. Malachy. Morning, Malachy.
Yeah.
Go on, Malachy.
Well, just listen to the two boys here. I think at the end of the day,
the country's never going to change, you know. And I've listened to your show for years, as you know, and, you know, I'm a big fan, and I've listened to the debates from Stormont. At the end of the day, if you've got the Gregory Campbells, the Dougs, the Sinn Féiners, the DUP, the UUP, whatever way you want to throw the balls in the air, as long as all that clique is being elected by the people who elect them, the rest of the country is never, ever going to change.
Well, it's not a clique, is it? It's not a clique. They put themselves up every 4 years. They
correct.
Stand for election. They could lose their job if they do not get the support of the people. That's a democracy, and they do get the support of the people.
But
what's your problem?
The bottom line is, Stephen, the bottom line is, it's them and us, brigades that vote for them. It's them that vote for them. It's us that vote for us. The ordinary working man and person in this country doesn't really care. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. So you're always going to get, I mean, the elections turn out 50% of the people vote. 50% don't care. And I'll tell you something else.
Well, whose fault's that? You know, this is something that's really, really interesting. You know, 50% don't care. Does that mean that they don't care about their child's education? Does that mean that they don't care about their mother's health and how she's going to be treated in a hospital?
No.
You know, what are we talking about here when you don't vote, when you don't care?
Okay, let me finish. Just let me finish. My own mother actually, you know, used the health service right up until she died there a year and a half ago. And, I mean, the care that was in the health service and the way she was treated at the latter stages of her life was pathetic. Politicians just don't care about my mother. Don't care about that. All they're worried about is the them and us mentality. And as far as children's concerned, I've got two teenage kids who are now starting off to go to university, and they're telling me that they're fancy Australia, where half the country is away to. The youth don't care about the DUP, and they don't care about Sinn Féin. And it's only if you live in socially deprived areas where you're caught in that trap that these people will survive. You know, I mean, personally, my kid said to me the other day when there was a guy on TV, Daddy, is it a DUP man or a Sinn Féin man? Do you know what I said to myself? I brought you up well, because I don't know, because it's the same old rhetoric over and over again. I want my children to get a job, a good education, and if they ever in their later years get sick, get good health care. And I don't care if it's Protestants or Catholics who got them, Sinn Féiners or DUP who got them. But I'll tell you what, see this whole charade about a majority rule? You can't go back to that, because you just abuse it. And at the end of the day, the people ruling the country are the people who have the clique voting for them. Now, should it be their clique?
The people who have the power in this country should be people like you, the citizens of the country. How many times am I going to bang on about this in this show?
When it's not for election,
don't underestimate as a population, as a community, how much power you have. Don't underestimate it.
Well, I stand for election as a minister of common sense, because at the end of the day, there's things I would say and agree with some parties and other parties, but I'll tell you what, as long as that Stormont clique and that crowd are up on that hill, I mean, the rest of us, no chance. I mean, I'm a working class guy trying to get work, trying to get a living for my children, trying to get health care when I get older. And, I mean, it's just going nowhere. They're still on about their flag waving and the way they get on. Unless the silent majority stand up, and be counted, we're just going to go round and round and round and round. And, I mean, listen to them talking about agreements made 14 years ago. Where are we? We've got a government that doesn't have an opposition because we've got them and us sharing power. And if we didn't have that, then we'd be back into the abyss with the troubles again.
Malky,
that the Bowler Hat Brigade and the Sinn Féiners sit back and have a long look at just where we are. But they don't care either, because they're getting big money out of it.
Malky, thank you very much indeed.